Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let us pray. Father, help us to look at your word and to see there all that you have done for us, that you have given us life in your name, and we are to be your living deeds in the world in which we find ourselves, sharing the good news, proclaiming the gospel, and living that faith that you have granted to us through the resurrection of your only Son. Amen. 2 weeks out from Easter, the message of Easter still rings in our lives. Jesus Christ, our God and Lord, died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Paul wrote to the church at Rome in chapter 4 these words, but the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Paul reminding the Romans, the purpose of Christ coming into our world and fulfilling for us what we could not do. Yes, in Easter we proclaim Christ the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And God has laid on him the iniquities of each and every one of us. We have fallen short, sinned, and we can only be justified freely without any works or the law or any merit within us. This is the power of God's grace at work in every one of our lives. And here again, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over for former sins. For us as the church, for us as believers, there is no name under heaven or earth that is given that we might be saved except by these stripes. You and I have been healed. You and I have been freed from the power of sin. This is the very foundation on which this congregation exists, or any congregation ought to exist. This is the foundation of what every believer ought to live and find their hope as they live out their time in this world. And to be able to give a message of this gospel to those who are opposed to this message. Here is the message on which Luther took his stand. Here is the message that each of us should also take our stand. It is the message that I took when I was ordained into the ministry of the church. We are all saved by faith in Christ, apart from the deeds of the law. And so we come to our first lesson, or our lesson from 1 Peter, where there we read, and if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. This is God at work for us. The basis of judgment is always the law. And yet we find ourselves oftentimes wanting to live under the law. And yet it is Christ who has freed us from the law. That every deed and word and action and all the things we do will condemn us. Because our very nature is sinful. We cannot save ourselves under the law. And that's the power of the law. It shows us our sins. Under the law, we are condemned. And if I live under the law, I need to stand in fear of God. Think about that. So many times as human beings, we are law-driven. And if it is the law that makes us feel good, then we're living for the wrong reasons. The law always accuses. The law always condemns. And yet God has given us freedom. He has given us life. God is a holy God, a just God. He judges the law. And that judgment will always lead to condemnation. And yes, if we live only under the law, we have one thing to look forward to, and that is eternal death. But we also need to remember that our God is omniscient, which means that He knows all things. God, in the very beginning, before He created the world, had a plan. At His creation, in His omniscient being, He knew what we would do and what we would become. And when God created us, He knew that we would be incapable of achieving salvation on our own. Peter reminds us that we have been ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our forefathers, as he says there, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. This is what God has done for each and every one of us. Yes, it's important for us to remember that. And so again, we can go back to Paul's letter to the Romans. I love the book of Romans. There's so much here for us to think about it and reflect on. In Romans chapter 13, we hear these words, "Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, or any other commandment, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourselves." Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. This is why when Luther wrote his catechism, he defined the law and he said the law could be reduced to one word, and that word is love. How do we love? Where is love in your life? Do we get hung up with all the principles of the law? Do we find it hard to love those who sin against us? By our very nature, we are very uncomfortable under the law, and we can live comfortably under the law, but it is that which we ought to feel uncomfortable about. The law leads us down a lot of holes that we don't need to go, because we have freedom. That freedom is in Christ. We create a lot of dilemmas in our lives because of our legalistic tendencies. Because when we live under the law, our focus is on us, self, deeds that we do. We look and we get concerned about our own possessions. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is drive around and look at all the storage facilities we have going up around us. How quickly we want to gather our possessions. We need a place to store all these things. And in the end, where do they go? We want to be right. And therefore, We are willing to even blur the truth in order to be right. A common practice in our day. We live with half-truths or made-up truths. The sinful flesh can be seen in the neighborhoods we live, the possessions we have, the travel we do. While our gifts back to God do not reflect what God has given us. Because you see, so often our lives are centered on what's in it for me. St. Peter writes, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Think about that. You and I have been given the Word of God. It is living. It is that which gives us life and breath and a purpose to what we do and share with one another. And so, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said, "Our Father," to remind us who is really in control in every one of our lives. And when we come to God, when we come to Him in worship, we come to make confession of our sins, knowing that our lives are filled with our failures, our self-centeredness. And even as we come into worship, sometimes we come with all kinds of tensions in our lives. And sometimes we find ourselves being dragged down by the very things that are going on for us. We cannot meet the demands of our sinful nature. The confession at the beginning of our worship is a time for us to be reminded that as we approach our God, He is a loving God, a God who loves us eternally. Much about every one of our lives will fail in the standards of the law, and yet we are driven to live that law so much in our lives. And yet, the law, if it is broken down, comes down to one word, love. We are to love one another, and oftentimes these acts of love are tainted with our own sinful thoughts. But St. Peter had good news to all who are here today. Yes, he says, the word of the Lord remains forever. It is that word that assures us. It is that word that reminds us who we are, that we are God's forgiven children, that all of our sins have been taken away. God made a judgment upon our deeds. It was the cross of Christ. Christ paid the price of your sins and my sins and all sins. Our living deeds, no matter how tainted, are made righteous through the blood of Christ. Think about that. We are to be living deeds. We are to be alive in His Word. We are to be alive in our love to one another. We are to let the cross shine through everything we do. And being alive in Christ, yes, you will fail. Because what do we have to give back to God? St. Paul would say, we have nothing but filthy rags. But we come to the cross. And there, salvation has been assured to all who have faith and believe. Christ is and should be at the center of every one of our lives. Think about what He has accomplished for you. He put the sins of all the world upon Himself, suffering, dying, taking our place. And on that Good Friday, yes, nailed to a cross. But for each of us, we have the beautiful good news of an empty tomb. Death could not contain him. God, putting an exclamation point on the cross by raising his only son to life again. We, as the people of God, living in this community, are to be living deeds, loving our families, loving our neighbors, loving your community, and oh yes, loving your enemies. Because Christ has died for all of his creation. There will be a great reunion when all flesh will come together at the throne of God. To those in faith, eternal life awaits them. Be that living deed. Be that breath of God's love and grace in our lives. Share that gift of salvation that God has given to you, knowing that your eternal future has been secured. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.